Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
This episode of The Sports Page is brought to you by Apogee Graphics. Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm your host, Ashton Nix, and joining us again this week is Chris Robb Jr. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Always fun to jump behind the mic and do this show, especially after this week's Cowboys game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which we'll talk about in a second.
All right.
But today we have a whole lot of content to bring to you. As you can see in the title, we're going to talk about our top five top QB draft busts of all time. We're also going to bring back a much anticipated segment that we used to do called Idiot of the Week. But like I said, first, let's talk about Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Eagles. What did you think of that game?
That was probably the best performance I've seen the Cowboys put on, and it's been, I guess, definitely over a year for sure, because they didn't really have any good ones last year. But it was a complete game. They, top to bottom, offense looked amazing. Defense looked amazing. Their points, you know, the Philly only scored pretty much on, like, you know, that one fumble in the end zone with Dak, but and then they had, you know, a couple of the drives, but the game was put away at that point. But the defense, I was more surprised on the defense and how they've been playing all year, you know, getting takeaways and, they're getting to the quarterback pretty well. You know, they're pressuring the quarterback. So all in all, I thought it was a really good performance.
Yeah, ever since they put Parsons at defensive end, it's been crazy. I think it's hard to tell because we've only seen him play one game at linebacker, right, but he may be better at defensive end. And I can't wait until Lawrence gets back and you're at full health on defense. And we've talked about it before that Cowboys don't get a lot of takeaways on defense. They don't give up a whole lot of big plays either until, of course, this year. But that's kind of give and take. If you're going to be more aggressive and go after the ball and get more interceptions or more fumbles or more takeaways, there's chances you're going to give up the big plays. And that's kind of what we've been seeing. But other than, I think, two or three plays, it was really shut down defense for them. I think Philly had three first downs in the first half.
Right.
Which is pretty ridiculous. I know they're not a great team, but as fun as that game was, where it was overall a great game, I think I can remember a few years ago playing Jacksonville where they won by 20, 30 points. Mm-hmm. And a game against the Vikings, I believe, a few years ago is when Dez Bryant threw a touchdown to Witten.
It was just
a blowout. Just really fun. And you don't get a lot of those games from the Cowboys. And I get it. It was Eagles aren't a top-notch team this year, at least from what we saw. Hopefully the Cowboys are as good as they appear. It's hard to tell. They played two decent teams, beat the Chargers, barely lost to the Buccaneers. And there were questionable calls on both sides, especially that non-Dak touchdown, which I understand why it wasn't called a touchdown. If it would have been ruled a touchdown at the beginning, they would have upheld the touchdown call. But it looked pretty clear that it was a touchdown. I don't understand, after as many issues they've gone through. There's talk about why don't they put chips in the balls where it's like tennis and soccer where they know when it crosses the goal line. Or I thought just at least put a camera right above the end zone to give us that look.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't they have that? What good does that camera angle a little bit back at an angle? Because it looked like a touchdown, but they can't say that's indisputable evidence because it's at an angle. But luckily that wasn't a big call in the game because, you know, Cowboys ran away with it.
Yeah, I think you were talking about, like complete games. Yeah, I remember that Jacksonville game. It was out of nowhere whenever they you know, Jacksonville's
They were
at
good
that
that
point
year,
was,
or
yeah,
they had a
they
decent
were really good
record.
that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were coming off of, I'm not sure if that was the year they went to the AFC Championship game or what the year after, but I remember, you know, because I look at the schedule and I, you know, count W's and L's, and I was like, yeah, that's a loss, you know, just like,
Yeah.
you know, every but they, you know, they showed, you know, they did amazing. And I, this game, this past game, like you said, they were dominant on defense. I remember at one point Zeke had more rushes than they, and then Philly had like plays
Yeah,
ran. Yeah, and so
absolutely.
that was like an incredible, that was an incredible stat. And I was just like, wow, they, you know, they're really getting off the field. They're really, you know, making plays. And it's, you know, I don't, you know, Philly's a bad team, but I kind of call all like, you know, NFC East games, they're always really close. So I never really think like someone's going to get blown out because, you know, divisional rivals, they always play each other pretty tough. But, you know, all in all, it's a really good game.
Yeah, the offense really controlled the ball. They had, like you said, Zeke had more rushes than they had snaps in the first half, and that's just great clock management.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
Zeke had a really awesome game. We all know he's not the back he used to be, but it was nice to see that he's still able to grab some of that and have decent games. So we could sit here and talk this entire episode about the Cowboys, but let's save that for later on in the year before people get tired of it. So moving in, what we have for the main segment of this episode is the top five for each of us. I've asked Rob to or Chris Rob to come up with his top five, and I have top five, and we didn't exchange notes. I want this to be completely new to both of us, but we each got our top five quarterback draft busts of all time, in our opinion. And these might mix up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick it off with number five, and we'll kind of count down, but I'm sure we're going to have some of the same people that interlap. So once we take our turn, and if I say something, someone, or you say someone on that list, when we jump back, I'll go ahead and bring them up, even if I had them at number one or whatever. We'll just talk about them all at the same time. So I'm just going to go first and kick it off, no pun intended, with it's a pretty boring pick, but I didn't want to just get emotional with these picks. But my number five is Heath Shuler. He was drafted by Washington in 1994, third overall pick. He played 13 games over 2 seasons and eventually lost his job to Gus Frerotte, who was Washington's 7th round pick that same year. And he was traded to the Saints a few years later in 1997 before he was out of the league the next year. And the criteria for my list, I may have should have prefaced this, is I really want to take guys who were either really hyped or taken really high and didn't have much success. So some of my notables I had were Vince Young and RG3, but because both of them had moderate success in their rookie years, or RG3 had a lot of success his rookie year, and RG3 really was an injury. Who knows? I think he could have had a decent career if he didn't get injured. But that's really my criteria for this. So all of my guys were picked high, had a lot of, most of them had a lot of hype, and they didn't stay in the league very long. So number five, Heath Shuler.
All right, my number five is, it was tough to put him on here because I really like the guy. He's arguably probably the best college football player ever, but I had Tim Tebow as my number five.
That's a good one.
Because you know, he was, like I said, he was probably the greatest college quarterback or, you know, football player to ever play in college. You know, he did it all, he won it all, he won a Heisman, you know, national championship, and, you know, came to the league and, you know, it didn't really quite, like, you know, his throwing motion was, you know, awkward. But I mean, the reason I put him on there just because of his college success, and I thought he would, you know, it would, you know, kind of translate to the league, but, you know, it just never did. But, you know, everyone killed him for his throwing motion. But And then, you know, he went to baseball and then he came back as a tight end. I'm like, at that point, I feel like he should have just stayed as an analyst, because it really kind of tarnished his career a little bit, his NFL career, that is, coming back into the league, being a tight end and being pretty bad at it. So, yeah, number five for me was Tim Tebow.
Yeah, he seemed like a complete quarterback. With you're comparing Vince Young, RG3, Johnny Manziel type, so they're mostly a running quarterback, and they can throw. But really, until Lamar Jackson came in and had success, people kind of wrote off those types of quarterbacks who had crazy stats in college. But, like, yeah, it's not going to translate. And I didn't think Tim Tebow was going to be a great player in the NFL. A lot of people didn't, but you thought, okay, he's a really smart guy. He's a leader. You would think he could be one of the bus driver quarterbacks, or maybe a career backup quarterback or something.
Yeah, at least make some type of career, like, at least, you know, because I mean, there are some quarterbacks, you know, that are in the league that I feel like, because, you know, Tim Tebow won a playoff game, you know, against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I thought he would kind of build on that a little bit, you know. Every summer he would, you know, I get with a throwing coach and try to fix his form, but it just never quite clicked for him. And I mean, I guess it was just one of those things. He's still, like I said, one of the top five college players in my eyes of all time. So, I mean, he still has that, but I just feel like once he phased out as a quarterback, he should have just stayed, and, you know, his legacy would have been a little bit more, you know, viewed a little better, you know, the eyes of the viewer. But, you know, that's just one of those things. So,
yeah. And I think he's not traditionally thought of as a bust as much, because he's been around so long, being an analyst, being a backup, coming back, playing baseball. A lot of the times when you hear bust, you want to hear somebody who, oh man, I forgot about that guy. I hadn't heard from him in years.
Right.
But my number four pick is going a little old school, and then I'll come back to more modern quarterbacks. But number four, I have Rich Campbell for the Packers. 1981, he was a 6th overall pick, only playing 6 games in 4 years, or 7 games in 4 years, and then playing 1 year for the Rams before retiring. Career 3 TDs, 9 interceptions. And the reason this one stuck out to me is this is the last time the Packers drafted a quarterback in the first round until 2005, when they took Aaron Rodgers. So he was such a big bust that it scared the Packers away from taking a first round quarterback for a long time. Although they did get Brett Favre for a long time. I know. Yeah. I had heard of him, but I didn't think much of it. But until they got Brett Favre in the 90s, it's a big chunk without drafting a quarterback in the first round. It's like, if you don't have your quarterback, that's what you're going for no matter what. No matter what your need is, if you have a quarterback, you're going to draft. And I thought it was interesting the Packers went so long after without drafting another quarterback in the first round.
All right, okay. That's a good one. My number four, I had all of mine are pretty modern. I did some research and I saw a few, you know, older guys, but I'm thinking in my eyes, as far as, like, for, you know, me watching football.
More relatable.
Me personally, more relatable. Me seeing them, me thinking they're going to be great in the NFL, and it just didn't pan out. My number four was Matt Leinart.
You know, that's a good one.
Round one, you know, drafted 10th overall. And, you know, he came into the league and he was, you know, behind Kurt Warner and I guess my list is kind of based off of, you know, college success, but he was a prototypical quarterback. He was tall, you know, he could throw the ball, you know, won the Heisman, won a couple championships at USC. And, you know, he had accuracy, but, you know, he had a few injuries as well, but it just never quite, he never quite had that career. He was, you know, bounced around just a little bit, but I feel like he was one of those guys that should kind of still be in the NFL, as, you know, as far as, like, two championships, Heisman, I just feel like it just didn't, you know, quite work out his way. But I mean, he's, you know, he's an analyst as well, and I feel like Tim Tebow should have kind of did what he did, you know, as far as like just, you know, just letting his career run his course and then go from there. But just me personally watching Matt Leinart and that USC team, you know, they were one of the most dominant teams I've ever seen. And, you know, he was at the helm, and, you know, it was, I just knew, you know, as a kid in 2016, I was, you know, like in middle school, but, you know, I was always watching football, and I just knew he was going to be one of those guys that would be like just amazing in the NFL, and just never quite panned out that way.
Yeah. And I think when you have so much success in college, that I don't remember the exact circumstances of why he wasn't at least kept on as a backup quarterback. But I right. think when you're so popular, he won a Heisman, he won a couple of national championships, he had that opportunity to go to be an analyst. And yeah. he may have been able to stay in the NFL as a backup quarterback he was offered that. He's like, thinking, I don't have as big of a future as I could have. And so that may be something that takes him away. I mean, he could have had more like a Colt McCoy-like career, or
right.
Colt McCoy still in the NFL as a backup quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
No, a decent backup quarterback, where Colt McCoy wasn't drafted near as high. I don't think he didn't have the same hype. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that when they have that much hype, they're so popular that, hey, this isn't working out. You know, let's – you know, because I thought Brady Quinn could have been on this list. When you may have him, you don't have to tell me if he has him or not.
Yeah.
But he was drafted, and that may have been more of a situation where he got drafted by the Browns. But he was snatched up pretty quick to be an analyst.
Right.
But going to my number three, it's probably one of the most popular number ones if you're talking about draft busts. And I have Ryan Leaf.
Okay.
Number three. Chargers second overall pick in 1998. And the reason this is such a big bust is because leading up to that draft, it was the same draft. Peyton Manning was drafted number one overall.
Yeah.
And people didn't know who should you pick, Manning or Leaf. It went back and forth before the Colts picked Manning. So there was so much hype there. And Leaf only played 3 years for the Chargers, 18 games. A career record of 4-14.
Wow.
And he went to Dallas for a year, and then Seattle signed him to a contract, but he retired before the year started.
Mm-hmm.
So, but something else that is intriguing about this is the Chargers moved up from, they had the number three pick, and they traded Arizona for the number two pick so they could pick Ryan Leaf, giving up a second round pick, a future first round pick, and two players. So not only they give up the big number two overall pick on him, they gave away other picks for him as well, and players.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good one. He's I will disclose he is on my list. My number three is Johnny Manziel.
Mm.
Yeah. All because I just feel like he just underachieved. I feel like he put a lot on himself by the way he acted off the field, and you know, he was electric. He was one of the greatest college players of all time. You know, he turned A&M around. He came to the pro level, and he got drafted by the Browns as well. So I'm not sure if Cleveland is just like, you know, the black hole for players, or because, you know, Justin Gilbert went there and he didn't pan out as well. He's considered a bust as far as, like, you know, defensive players.
I mean, Baker Mayfield has more wins in Cleveland than any other Cleveland quarterback since they came back in 98 or 99, whatever year they came back in the league.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield is the most successful quarterback the Browns have had since. So.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
That's saying a lot. Yeah. That's saying a lot for Baker to be like there. I mean, I guess, is he the greatest Browns quarterback of all time? I don't know. Like, he's up there. And
that's a gray area there, because I kind of consider the Browns to be an expansion team. because they kind of change history where they say the Ravens are the expansion team now, but that's not how it worked. The Browns relocated, and then they came up with a brand new expansion team, Browns, which gave them a leg down coming in as an expansion team. But they kind of mix the histories together because they call them the Browns. If they would have called the new Cleveland team anything but the Browns, it would have been separate. Like you don't tie the Houston Oilers and Houston Texans.
Right.
History together, but that's just me.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Johnny is the fact that I was such a big fan of him in college. It was kind of one of those things where I just wanted him to succeed. I know he did a lot. He had a lot of antics on the field, but at that particular time I was loving it. You know, he was, you know, talking trash and, you know, making plays. And I was like, man, I just want him to succeed. And, you know, I thought of a couple guys that I could have put on this list. Like you said, RG3, Vinshawn. My heart could put Vinshawn on here because I'm just a huge Vinshawn fan. But he also, I mean, he made it to a couple Pro Bowls. RG3 had his success early. And, you know, when injuries you take into account injuries, I just, you know, I try to say, okay, like, did he, you know, from what he did healthy, was he a good player? And I feel like Vinshawn at his peak, RG3 at his peak, I feel like they were, you know, pretty good. So I couldn't put him on this list, but Johnny Manziel, I feel like he's, in my eyes, probably, yeah, the third biggest bust in, you know, in my recent history for sure.
Yeah, and I struggled not to put him on here. Mm-hmm. He would be number six if we went past five.
Yeah.
I think one of the main reasons I didn't, because he checked off on all my check marks of putting him on here, where he had great success in college, very little in the NFL. But I think the main reason where I left him off was because there was some doubt there, because he had dropped in the draft, and because of the style of quarterback, some people thought he might not pan out as Vince Young and RG3 didn't.
Right.
Of course, yeah, Vince Young did have that good rookie year, and
mm-hmm.
I believe it was his rookie year he led the Titans. It was like six or seven straight wins, and they went to the playoffs.
Yeah,
it was working on a dropped off. But yeah, mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel's right up there. That's just my specific criteria of busts.
Right.
So moving to number two, oh, man, I hope I pronounced his name right, Keely Smith. For the Bengals, yeah, 1999, third overall. Sounds pretty boring. He had four seasons, played 17 games, a 3-14 record, 13 interceptions, 5 TD ratio, under 50% completion rate. But the reason I have him at number two was I try to blame the teams as much as the players.
Okay, yeah.
Because the Bengals drafted him number three overall. But they had a trade offer that year for Mike Ditka, and the New Orleans Saints were offering him nine picks, including three first round picks for that number three overall pick. That's of course when the Saints traded all those picks away so they could get Ricky Williams.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
He could be up there if we weren't just talking quarterbacks.
Yeah,
but that's what it was. They rejected that trade for all those picks just to pick. Terrible quarterback in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he was on my list. I did it a little further out, you know, a little bit past five. He was, I think he was number seven on mine, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I read up on him because I didn't even know he, you know, I was looking up, you know, to see who I could like put on this list, because I already had a five in mind. And, you know, I just, because I know he had played baseball as well.
Yeah.
But, I think he was number seven on mine, but yeah, he was definitely not great, to say the least, in the NFL.
And jumping you to your number two.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, jumping to your number two pick.
My number two, we've already spoke about him. So Ryan Leaf was my number two. for all the things you said, just the fact that him and Peyton Manning were even compared is kind of laughable. But
now in hindsight.
Now in hindsight. And the fact that, because I watched a documentary on him, and, you know, he was terrible in the locker room. He was terrible to reporters. He was, you know, terrible teammate from what everyone was saying, and all the videos I watched, you know, him like, you know, kind of cursing out, you know, reporters. And, you know, he had all the, you know, all the skills. You know, he was, he had, they said he had a stronger arm than Peyton Manning. He was, you know, this and that, but, you know, that's just not the case, especially when you're comparing him to, you know, a top five quarterback of all time. That's always going to be, he's always going to be linked to him in that aspect. And that's a tough comparison. That's a tough person to get linked to, especially like when you're not good and you don't pan out in the NFL. So Ryan Leaf was my number two.
Yeah. And all that, all the off the field stuff you were talking about, that's somewhere where I like personally to put when we're talking about busts, because we said it's hard to put Vince Young, RG3, players like that, because they weren't just, it's just, it just didn't work out, you know, talent wise. Tebow, it didn't work out. It's not, there wasn't other factors. It wasn't factors like, man, he just wouldn't practice or doing this. They tried, they had issues, but it makes you want to root for them. And maybe that's a bias. As you can see with my number one pick, it's, there are a lot more issues that, if those were taken care of, it may have worked out decently. But my number one pick for the biggest quarterback draft bust of all time would be Jamarcus Russell.
Okay, yeah.
Out of LSU, drafted by the Raiders in 2007, first overall.
Mm-hmm.
Won a national championship at LSU. I thought he had won a Heisman, but when I did some research, he didn't win the Heisman that year. But
was it Tim Tebow that won it in 2007?
It's hard to tell. Like, I have to go back and was it 2000?
It was either him or him or Troy Smith out of Ohio State. It was one of the two, I think.
It may have been. That was the year after the Longhorns had won it all. So Reggie Bush had won it in 06. So it's hard to. I mean, this is why Super Bowls are labeled with Roman numerals instead of the year, because they happened right after the first. So being drafted in 2007, that means it'd be 06, 07 was his
year. So it'd be the 06, 07
year. Yeah, the 06, 07 year. They'd beat Oklahoma, I believe, in the national championship.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not sure when somebody wins a Heisman Trophy. I guess they went in December, so that would have won it in 2006.
Troy Smith won in 2006.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
So
he could have been on here too.
he really could have. That's what I'm saying. I think of him as bust is when you're like, oh yeah, that guy, and you're like, oh man, we could have added him, and maybe if we would have dug deep into him, he might have. Off the top of my head, I don't know where he was drafted.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. That's a good question, but I definitely remember watching, because I remember the year after Texas won a championship. It was Colt McCoy's, you know, freshman year, and then Ohio State came to Texas to play, and it was the number one, number two team, and you know, Ohio State just rolled them, because you know, everybody had left and went to the NFL or you know, something like that. I remember him vividly, but he got drafted in the fifth round, so I guess he wouldn't be considered a bust. But as far as that great college success and then going to the NFL, I mean, he could kind of be on here, but fifth round, I guess they weren't really thinking too much, too highly of him. So, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, career stats, he played three seasons, only played 25 games, 7 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. The craziest stat on this is he had 25 fumbles and 15 lost fumbles.
Wow.
So for his career, he had more than twice as many fumbles lost than he did interceptions as a quarterback.
Wow.
But it really started off bad for Jamarcus Russell and the Raiders organization
Yeah.
right off the bat. He didn't even make his regular season debut or his career debut, football debut, until the regular season finale in December, which is weird to think of the number one overall pick. It's like we were talking, they were talking about Trevor Lawrence this year. Is he going to be the starter? Like, obviously, he's going to be the starter. They're just trying to make up drama.
Right. Exactly.
But the reason he didn't start was because he was holding out on his contract. A rookie was holding out on his contract. He ended up signing a $60 million deal at the time. It may still be the record, but at the time was the biggest rookie deal in NFL history.
Right.
He was having lots of issues. He didn't want to train. He didn't want to watch film. I'm not sure if this was confirmed, but there was a report he was given blank videotapes with
Yeah,
different defensive packages
I
written
heard
on them,
that. I've
and they gave it to him, told him to watch them. He came back, blank tapes, mind you, brought him back and said, yeah, he watched them.
Wow.
So, and he was finally cut in May of 2010 after showing up to camp weighing 290 pounds.
Wow. Ugh. Yeah, he was. Yeah, I'm just gonna. That was my number one as well,
Oh, wow.
because. Yeah, he was my number one as well. Because it was, I was, trying to think, should I put Ryan Leaf number one or him number one? But I vividly remember watching Jamarcus Russell, and he was supposed to be what Cam Newton ended up being, something
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
He was
big quarterback,
six, yeah,
powerful.
260 coming out of college. So, even though we didn't even know who Cam Newton was at the time, but hindsight, you're like, man, he should have been like what Cam was. But like you said, the whole I heard that DVD, the blank tape story as well. That's incredible. That's hilarious, actually. But just someone, I guess he just didn't want to put the work in, or I don't know if he had a lot going on. But number one overall, you expect him to come in and make a difference at least at some point in their career, but it just never panned out that way for him. But
Yeah,
he's my yeah.
a lot of these superstars grow up their whole life being the most talented, the best. I
That's
mean,
yeah,
if you end up playing in the NFL, you were an amazing high school athlete, more likely than not. That's why you see a lot of the times the
great
quarterbacks
point.
that are supposed to pan out, drafted number one overall, number two overall, call these college prospects, the outstanding players in college, they
Right.
don't pan out as much as, your Dak Prescott's, Tim Tebow, I mean, Tom Brady's, Aaron Rodgers, he played at Cal. A lot
Right.
of times, they're told this their whole lives. They, never have real jobs for the most parts. So that affects their personality. That affects what kind of leader they're going to be. Some of them can overcome it. Some of them are groomed, and then some of them just have raw talent and they never needed to put in the work. So you
Right.
just think if he can just dominate high school and college without having to do all that, he's gonna be stubborn and think, I can do that in the NFL. That's not a big problem. And then when he realizes he can't, it's not like he can just turn on a switch and say, okay, now I'm gonna start studying defenses. I'm gonna watch tape. I'm gonna work out, stay in shape. And it's, some guys, it's just detrimental to them.
Yeah, he probably was like, that was a great point you made. He was probably bigger than everyone growing up, especially being 6'6", 260. He was probably, stronger than everyone. And I know some guys like that were dominant, all throughout like us growing up. And then, everyone would catch up to them because, they've always been that dominant. They've never needed to work. They never needed to, go to the field and like do like footwork drills or, like whatever. And I'm pretty sure because he was, he was extremely talented. That carried him to the number one overall pick. But once you get to the NFL, everyone is, everyone's getting paid, and everyone is, everyone's bigger, stronger, faster. And you gotta, you know, as especially the number one pick, if you want to be great, you gotta separate yourself. You gotta, you know, do the work, and that's just something he didn't do, and you know, just didn't pan out. And he tried. I think he tried to come back last year or the year before. He was working out, and he was trying to get a workout with like the Bears or something like that. But you know, his reputation was pretty much already tarnished at that point.
Man, he might be able to make the Bears roster right now. QB's issues probably they have. Well, that's our collective opinionated top five QB draft busts of all time.
Yeah.
Real quick. Real quick before we move on. Those of you who are sports gamblers, if you ever found yourself searching for trends and insights to help improve gambling profits or struggle to find cappers who follow consistent who you follow consistently to bring you profitable picks, you need to try Cappers Collective. It's a free sports gambling newsletter delivered to your email inbox every Thursday morning. Find the most important sports gambling trends, insights, and the most profitable cappers to follow in the world in this weekly newsletter. To subscribe, you can go to their website, cappers-collective.com, and you get your free newsletter. Like I said, every Thursday. That link will be in the description box below if you need it. It's Cappers Collective or cappers-collective.com. Don't miss this opportunity to deepen your wallet today. Do you are you a big sports gambler, Chris?
I'll do it every now and then. It really just depends on who the Cowboys are playing. Because if they play like, you know, a team that I know I have friends that are fans of, I'll bet on the game. You know, I have a lot of Eagles fans that I bet that, you know, that I have as friends. And then I have a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans that are friends. And I'm feeling more and more confident about that, you know, about that game. But, you know, that's a little down the, you know, down the way. But, you know, I usually bet with my friends. I was trying to get into it, you know, as far as like just, you know, just betting in general. But, I'll have to just keep looking into it.
Yeah, Cowboys are a hard team to bet with because having so many fans around the country, Vegas will always inflate their numbers.
Yep.
And I had a guy I used to work with who was, he took up money, and I mean, he's kind of our air quotes shark. But no, he's a good guy, and I used to bet parlays because they were very, you know, throw in $10 or $20 and you could win, you know, $1,000. You just had to pick a bunch of different games, and that's most of the gambling I've been into is parlays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But moving on to the next segment, by popular demand, we're bringing back Idiot of the Week. Now, Chris, I know you've never been a part of this before, but I have three stories. They're actually all sports stories for this past week. Typically, they're not always sports because I don't like to water it down. I really want to find the biggest dumb stories I can.
Right.
And in the past, we've done a bank robber who ran out of gas and like think you're going to go rob a bank. It's one of the on the checklist, right? Make sure you have gas. But these are all sports stories from this past week. We'll vote on them at the end. There's only two of us. The past we've done, there's three or four of us. But if we vote different stories and have a tie, I'll take it to the Twitterverse, and they can vote Idiot of the Week. Okay, first off, hopefully, I mean, I know you've at least heard a couple of these, but the first one is Kayvon Pope quits. Fourth-year senior from Ohio State.
Yep.
Frustrated with playing time, threw a temper tantrum on the sidelines. Pulled off his jersey. Multiple players and coaches tried to calm him down. He was voicing his opinion, or in the past he had voiced his opinion about not playing against Minnesota. Him and his family were posting on social media, which is a bad idea when you're an athlete or even a public figure.
Especially Ohio State.
Yeah. if social media didn't get you famous, then safe to say you can get off of there. There's nothing good coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
He deleted a Twitter post that made it sound like he was quitting, basically saying F Ohio State, except he didn't put F in there. He spelt it out. Deleted the post, apologized, was obviously frustrated with his playing time, but head coach Ryan Day commented that they had dismissed him from Ohio State, but he will remain on scholarship through the duration of the semester, which I'm not sure his status on graduating, if he's able to graduate past this semester, but I think maybe being a walk-on player would have made this less dumb. But the
Right.
fact that he did this, and he was a scholarship player, I was kind of reading through the story thinking, okay, frustrated with playing time, probably just a walk-on, but this could screw up his status with Ohio State and being able to graduate. And not only that, it's such a big story that as much as I don't know about laws in different states about Googling recruits for just employment opportunities when you apply for jobs, this guy's screwed. If they vote, if they don't already know who he is, Google Kayvon Pope and see what he did
Yeah, that was.
walking out on his team, which I can understand being frustrated, but just walking out, posting that on social media
During the game is.
during the game. Exactly. It's not like later on he thought about it, like, you know what, I just have to step away. This isn't for me.
Right.
It's that he just walked out on his team while coaches and players were trying to console him, calm him down from throwing his temper tantrum in a game where they were playing Akron and we're winning 59 to 7. We both of us Cowboys fans know a lot of the emotions of Dez Bryant. A lot of the times it was when he wasn't getting plays and they were losing or close games, and it was a little understandable. He could care less if he was getting the ball if they were winning by 20 or 30 points. So again, I understand you're doing this your whole life. Being a scholarship player, he probably thought he had chances at getting to the NFL, and obviously being his senior year, not getting as much playing time, he probably frustrated playing football his whole life. I understand, but that's you have any more thoughts on that before we move to the next story?
Well, tweeting during the game, F your college that you play for isn't the smartest move.
After the
But
game, after you're done at Ohio State, I don't care if Tom Brady tweets F Michigan,
exactly.
that's a pretty big deal.
That's a huge deal, yeah. And this, that's just not smart. As a senior, I feel like what would he be, what, 22, 23? Like you just gotta be smarter than that. But that's definitely stupid.
I can imagine he deleted the tweet, but that's there forever.
It's too late at that
I
point.
was able to find a screenshot of it. So you can only imagine at the Ohio State Michigan game that some of the signs that, man, I have to check.
Oh
Is it in
man,
Michigan?
yeah, I
If it's in
didn't
Michigan, that's gonna be a thing where an Ohio State player saying F Ohio
I didn't
State.
even yeah, I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Well, I
And I
just now thought of it when I mentioned Tom Brady in Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many followers. I think he deleted his Twitter. So I was about to check how many followers he had,
Yeah,
but I'm sure
he
it
should have
was
done that
thousands.
before, yeah.
I'm sure he had thousands of followers, and you put something out there, and all of a sudden you get hundreds of retweets and screenshots, and that wasn't smart for sure.
Okay, so that's number one story
Okay.
we can vote on. Number two, Jeff Rogers, if you don't know who he is, he's assistant head coach, but in charge of special teams for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Now, the Cardinals won. They beat Jacksonville, so that makes this less of an issue. But if you didn't see at the end of the first half, and I can only assume this was his call and not the head coach's, but they attempted a 68-yard field goal where Jamal Agnew of the Jaguars returned that field goal attempt. It's called a kick six. Honestly, I've never heard of that term, which it doesn't happen very often, but instead of a pick six, it's a kick six. He turned it returned it 109 yards to tie the NFL record. So I understand. Now we were talking about hindsight earlier. You couldn't imagine that he was going to return that for a kickoff. I'm not beating him up. Too much, but I beat up the Cowboys for attempting a 60-yard field goal a couple of weeks ago, where that this is giving them. You're not worrying about field position here because it's the end of the half. But when you think about, okay, it's 68 yards. This is 5 yards further than at the time was the NFL record. Now there's an NFL record. But at the time, 5 yards further, there was no chance of this going in.
Right.
And think about who you have on the field for the kicking team.
All O-line.
You have a kicker, backup quarterback or punter as a placeholder, and all offensive line. That's the thing you have to think about. On punts and kickoffs, you have to put defensive players, receivers. You have to put athletes, real athletes in there because they have to tackle. But you don't think about it, kicking a field goal.
Right.
So he's kicking that, and obviously they have Agnew back there. That's their point. That's what they want to do. He's going to run it back. He's probably their punt returner. I haven't watched a lot of Jacksonville football. Right. So once he starts with it, which still I understand the chances are wide, are far-fetched that he's going to run that back for a touchdown. But you already put yourself at a bigger disadvantage than you needed to, having a bunch of 300-pound linemen, having to run, having to figure out where this guy is. They're not used to doing this on a lot of drills. They're not defensive linemen. So that's, you know,
it's like the Bama thing.
Exactly.
Like the Bama situation. Yeah.
And this doesn't happen very often. And I really thought about putting McCarthy in there ahead of him instead for not calling the timeout.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys won by 20 points. So I thought, it's not a big deal. Although Jacksonville did lose this game. So any more thoughts on this? This might be a weak pick, but.
Yeah. I think that Justin Tucker saved this decision a little bit, because although Justin Tucker is probably the greatest kicker ever, you know, it's only 2 yards further than where he attempted to kick. So I feel like, you know, at the time it's a dumb call, but the fact that someone made a 66-yard field goal the same day will kind of save this decision. But it was definitely, I think it was stupid. I think you just, you know.
And again, hindsight, if they had just missed it and be like, okay, great, they tried it, that was fun going to halftime.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in the future they try to, I don't know, maybe you start training your place kicker as one of the.
Like a receiver.
Yeah,
or
like
a
defensive,
or
like a linebacker or something.
Yeah.
It's like that gives you that extra blocker, too.
Yeah, and even then, though, like even, you know, with all your linemen, I think, you know, like on the wings, they put, you know, like a tight, like two tight ends or something like that.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
It's still like, that's
yeah, they
still,
put, the Patriots put Gronk back when they were defending against Hail Marys, which didn't work out a couple of times.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. Like even with all those old linemen and tight ends and backup quarterbacks, you would still think you could bring one person down, but you know, it's just one of those rare moments in football where, you know, like kick six has never really happened. So, you know, but I mean, I personally still think that's kind of a stupid decision to kick from your from the other side of the field, but that's just
My first thought before it even happened is like, okay, well, if they block it, it's not a far run to score a touchdown, you know. I think it's more likely that they block it than
than
return it for a kick six. And our last nominee for Idiot of the Week. Obviously, you watch Monday Night Football. Did you watch any of Peyton and Eli?
I watched a little bit of it. Whenever I, you know, had time, I went to get food and stuff like that. But I watched some of it there. You know,
what I didn't like about it is every time there was a commercial and I try to switch over, they went to commercials. So what I did was just I recorded it. And so every time there was a commercial, I went over and watched the last couple of minutes just because it was a Cowboys game. I didn't, in general, probably wouldn't watch that just for any Monday Night Football game.
Exactly.
But I believe it was in the third quarter, they had Chris Long interviewing him. And they were talking about the worst places they played, and Eli, you know, talking about playing in Dallas. But he said when he played in Philly, they had the worst fans. They were terrible. They were mean, which is, you know, not a big surprise. And he said that a 9-year-old had flipped him off, gave him the double bird one time. And so I think Chris Long told him, yeah, go ahead, show us. And he's like, Yeah, I don't know. And he just did it and said, yeah, well, they'll blur this out, right? Like, well, it's not like radio. Radio's on a delay on purpose in case you cuss or something, they can drop it. And even if they were, they're live. I'm sure that ESPN has the technology to blur it out, but not when you just flip them up with no warning, flipping everybody off, which I thought was funny. And especially since he was describing Eagles, an Eagle fan. And then he just flipped them off. I was like, okay, that's kind of crazy. Coming back from break, he said he apologized. He said, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And not only was that why I put him on Idiot of the Week, just the idea that he throws them up, flips them off, and say, yeah, we'll blur this out. Like, I don't think he understands how that works on live TV.
Not
If,
live
yeah,
TV.
exactly. If you're recording, sure, they'll blur it out. Sure, they'll beep anything out. But without warning, not knowing it's going to happen, they probably don't have the ability to do that.
I just looked it up. I looked at the video and I mean, I guess he wasn't. He's is this his first, like TV type gig or something like
I'm
that?
not sure. I don't think he's one of the analysts on a specific channel, but I've seen him since he retired be on a couple of shows. It's not
So
like
he should kind
paid.
of know. He should
Yeah,
know like
he should
the
know. I mean,
etiquette
I feel like they've had, even though they're just doing a webcam here in their own homes, I feel like they've had training and say, hey, do this, don't do this,
Right.
yeah, at least ESPN. If he hadn't, ESPN should be on this a nominee for Idiot of the Week for not letting him know. But I'm sure he's told, don't cuss, don't do this, and they just don't think we should have to tell him not to flip off how many ever people are watching this, which I suspect quite a bit of people were, because I see a lot of things on social media about how popular this Peyton and Eli show has been, that they would rather watch it than the broadcast
Yeah,
of Monday
especially
Night
when the
Football.
Cowboys are playing.
Yeah,
So
exactly. That
that's that that adds another maybe 5 or 6 million eyes, viewers that that are watching them. I guess that just wasn't the right time for me to do that, but that's funny.
No, it's funny. I haven't seen anything about him getting fined. I'm not even personally up to date on the rules about flipping. I mean, I know what words you can. I went to broadcasting school and I kind of keep up with that. I know what words you can say and can't say in whatever environment you're in. Honestly, I have no idea if you're allowed to flip off people. Like, I've seen, I guess, news stories where it's blurred out. So, I don't know if that's a personal thing. Maybe ESPN just did. Like, hey, it's not against the rules, but you shouldn't do it because it's against our rules, type of deal. But as far as I know, he hasn't really been punished. He was just slap on the wrist. He apologized. It was all. It's kind of a funny story now. I don't think for that they're going to kick Eli off that show
No, I
with
don't
how
think
much
so. It's
popularity it's been or how
yeah,
much
and Peyton
fame.
Manning. Peyton Manning is the draw, and I see he's kind of like egging him on to do it. So it's I guess it's I don't know. I'm not sure if they have different ratings or TV 14 TVMA or whatever for their show. I'm not sure, but the fact that Peyton was kind of egging him on, it seems like I feel like he wouldn't get in trouble for it.
Yeah, and really, it's not like dropping the F bomb, although technically that's what that means. But it's just not the same. You think about kids watching and stuff like that. And really, it was just real quick. I almost didn't notice it. I'm like, did he really do that? Was using different fingers? Is it? And really, it's just made worse by taking screenshots of it and sharing it. It's not hard to find. It's like it wouldn't have
Social
been
media.
as a big deal. So I'm not sure if ESPN will be fined. If I'm sure Eli wouldn't care if he was fined anyways. How much ever he's got tons of money. But maybe this is an easy vote for us, because just not only how stupid was the act or the action, but there's only one story here where there's real consequences, and that's going to be the Kayvon Pope. Quits and everything he did in that situation, and that's going to be my vote.
Let me. I want to make it. Nah, I'm a Kayvon. That story is just too wild. I'm gonna go Kayvon Pope as well. because that's just wild.
And I'm glad because I like to keep it real on our show. Back in the day, we would talk before, okay, what are we going to vote for? I'm like, no, vote how you want to vote. We don't have to make it interesting. If it's, we had four guys on, the time we had four guys on, it was a 4-0 vote. It wasn't even interesting. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not trying to script this for people, but.
Right. Yeah, no, that, yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. I may start it. Typically what we did was we take all the idiots of the week and do near the end of the year, we'd kind of narrow it down to 5 or 6 and do an idiot of the year award. Mm-hmm. Start bringing this back so late. I may still do it. I'll do a few more idiots of the week and then maybe we'll have you on at our last show of the year. We'll have a couple of people on and we'll vote for idiot of the year. Let's mark Kayvon Pope.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
As a nominee for idiot of the year. Chris, I'm glad you could join us again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, as always. And we'll definitely have you on in the future, more future episodes.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.